Everyone, we welcome you to the Topeka Reformed Presbyterian Church, and are very glad to see people from far and wide who have come to join us this evening, and we're very much looking forward to praising the name of the Lord together this evening. If you would take your bulletin, I assume you got one of those, or at least are within eyeshot of one. We did want to let you know that this psalm singing is an important part of this weekend for our congregation, as we are celebrating 20 years, it was actually last week, that 20 years that we've been in this wonderful building. And we want to thank the Lord for that. You'll see there's a few pictures there that are included, and some various dates and figures and such. And so we're very glad this is the third building that the Topeka Reformed Presbyterian Church has occupied over its history. And you'll see on the back the other two buildings, one on 920 Southwest Clay Street and the other on Fairlawn Road. And so we want to just give thanks to the Lord tonight and welcome all of you here as we focus in this evening on a very interesting theme, the theme of God's holy house, your strength. And you'll see on the inside of the bulletin there on the right hand side, kind of the first portion of our psalm sing this evening. We're going to try and keep moving fairly rapidly and get through these, and hopefully up to the discretion of the presenters, but hopefully we'll have time for a few favorites this evening. Following the psalm sing, then, we do have some very nice refreshments in the Family Life Center, and I'll be giving you more information about that at the end. So tonight we want to focus on this issue of God's holy house. Think about the holy house of God. At times, this was a pile of stones put together by the patriarchs in some exotic location in the Holy Land. At times, this was a traveling tent that God himself commissioned, exactly the dimensions, the materials, the symbolism of that tent. At times, this was Solomon's temple there in Jerusalem, covered with gold, just astounding in its beauty. And then after the captivity, we've been studying in our own congregation about Haggai and Zechariah as they were calling the people to come and to work and to rebuild probably a much smaller, much simpler second temple. And for hundreds of years, that second temple was the place where the people of God expected the Messiah to come. And sure enough, Jesus entered into that temple and he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "How could you possibly do that? It's been 46 years that this temple is being renovated." But the temple Jesus spoke of, profound theological significance, was the temple of his body. So tonight we want to focus on this theme as we travel through Scripture of God's holy house. And the psalms that we sing, be sure and note and look for those in the various psalms, the theme of God's holy house or his temple or something along those lines. And also we have some other scripture readings that I'll be presenting in between each psalm. So I hope we can just delve into this evening, and let's sing with gladness. Let's shout our praises to the King of Kings. I'm always reminded of, I think it's Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." That is the word that's used of the noise of war, of the noise of the rabble even. It does not mean make this beautiful, articulate noise to the Lord. It means volume. And so I hope we can sing tonight with enthusiasm and with volume. So let's begin this evening. If you would take your Psalters and turn to Psalm 65a, and we'll be singing both from 65a and 65b. We'll sing stanzas 1 through 3, and then we'll jump down to stanza 6. So Psalm 65, stanzas 1 and 3 and 6. And once you've found that, please stand and hear a call into God's presence this evening. The author of Hebrews writes, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope." Friends, as we come together this evening, remember that ultimately it is not a building, but it is the people of God that is the house of God, as he inhabits the hearts of his people by his word and by his Holy Spirit. Let us come and sing together to him this evening. Psalm 65a, stanzas 1 through 3 and 6.
La, la, awaiting you inside.
Seated. The Lord sent Adam from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Then, sometime later, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Friends, God has been at work throughout human history to call a people to himself. And after the era of the patriarchs, the land was filled with places where the people had piled stones together and had an altar where with blood sacrifice they had fellowshiped and they had called upon the name of the Lord. Let's turn together in our Psalters to Psalm 5a as we consider how we're called to draw near to God's house.
God.
God revealed himself to Moses and instructed Moses in great detail about building the house of God. In this case, a mobile tent that would move with the people of Israel. And each time that they camped would be at the focal point, the center point of the community of God's people. Exodus 25 says, "This is the contribution you shall receive from the people of Israel. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and finely twisted linen, goat's hair, tanned ram's hides, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones, and stones for setting, for the ephod and the breastpiece. They shall make the Ark of the Covenant out of acacia wood. You shall make the mercy seat of pure gold. You shall make a table of acacia wood. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. See that you make all these things after the pattern for them, which is being shown to you on the mountain." The remarkable thing here is about the tense of the verb, as it's pointing out that there apparently, as the people were camped at the base of Mount Sinai, God was showing them something, a pattern after which the tabernacle was to be modeled. Indeed, friends, we learn something about the worship of heaven as we study and consider the tabernacle. Let's turn in our Psalters to Psalm 22, Selection D, as we praise God in the assembly with brothers and sisters.
May I suggest we stand and sing this with all the energy that we can to our holy God. La la. I praise you in the gathering, telling my brothers of your name. All you who hold the Lord in awe, to him the praise that now proclaim. Give him the glory, they shall see. All Israel shall fear him.
Remain standing and hear what God did after the people gathered together, after they sacrificed and gave of their own livelihood there in the wilderness of Sinai. They gave their gifts to the Lord, and God raised up craftsmen to craft a physical building, a structure where the worship of God would take place. And it says at the end of the book of Exodus, when the priests went into the tent of meeting, new name for the house of God, the tent of meeting, and when they approached the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day and fire was in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. If you would turn to Psalm 84, selection B, as we sing in this psalm about standing near God's house. Do you stand and look with expectation toward the house of God as you anticipate Lord's Day by Lord's Day coming to worship Him and advance with His saints? Let's sing Psalm 84b. Please be seated. And so the people traveled with the tabernacle. They entered into the promised land, and God established not a mobile tent anymore, but now a physical structure in the center of the nation, in the city of Jerusalem. And God used David and later his son Solomon to erect a glorious, what we call the first temple, there in Jerusalem. In 1 Kings chapter 8, it describes the grand events surrounding the dedication of that temple, not unlike this building was dedicated 20 years ago. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built. Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant. May your eyes be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place. And listen in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. Friends, God is a God who delights in forgiving his people. He is a shepherd who leads and guides us away from that which would hurt us and leading us toward green pastures. If you would turn with me to Psalm 23, selection A. Psalm 23, selection A, and we'll sing all the stanzas here. And so for 1,000 years, the Solomonic Temple stood as a dedication to the glory of the one true God who made heaven and earth and everything in them. The people came faithfully, sometimes not all of Israel, in fact, sometimes very few of Israel. And eventually that Solomonic Temple would be torn down by the Babylonians. But it would later be resurrected and would stand for another significant period of time until finally the day came when Jesus entered the temple. And he did something you might not expect. We learn of this in John chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He went into the temple, and there he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple. So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When he was therefore raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Friends, oftentimes when God draws near, it's not merely to comfort and to affirm us. It's to challenge us in our sin. Sometimes we find ourselves far from God. We find ourselves wishfully thinking of the times when we had such precious times together with God's people in the house of the Lord. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 42, selection C. Psalm 42C. This psalm speaks also of us remembering when we went and feasted in God's house. Psalm 42C. And so Jesus Christ ministered the word among the people of Israel. We read this morning in John 12 how when the Greeks come to Jesus, he sees in a significant way that his mission in being the fulfillment of God's promises to the Jewish people is complete. And he begins to speak of the gospel going forth to all the nations. That gospel does go forth, and we learn in the book of Hebrews that there is a significant development as we learn about more about the house of God, our confidence. Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 73. And we'll be singing stanzas from both the A and the B selection using the tune of Psalm 73a. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 2, and then we'll jump over and we'll sing stanzas 6 through 8. So stanzas 1 and 2 and 6 through 8. And notice how God's house once again enters into the picture. Let's stand and sing Psalm 73a and B, stanzas 1 and 2 and 6 through 8. Please remain standing. The author of Hebrews goes on to press the issue of the distinction of the discontinuity between the old covenant and the new covenant, between that which happened in Jerusalem and that which happens in the Spirit, between that which happened for a nation and that which happens for all the nations of the world. We do not come to Mount Sinai. Listen to the words of Hebrews chapter 12. You have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. If you would turn to Psalm 100D, as we speak not only of coming into a physical house, but coming into God's very holy presence. Psalm 100D. Seated. And if you would turn with me to Psalm 36, selection B. Psalm 36, selection B. For truly, as we consider the theme of God's house as our strength and our joy, it must press upon us the question, what kind of person comes and lives near to God? Psalm 15 asks this question and answers it in a very direct way, not appealing to some kind of worldly psychotherapy, but appealing to the moral law of God as the foundation of a holy life. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does not evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does these things shall never be moved. Notice in Psalm 36b, it speaks of the bounty of God's house. Friends, do you experience the bounty of God's house? Do you come to church and find your soul to be fed with the riches that are beyond compare, with the gifts of your Creator, of your Redeemer? Do you hear the voice of Jesus Christ in the assembly as the means of grace are presented to you week by week? This is a psalm that speaks of the bounty of God's house. Psalm 36b will remain seated. so, friends, we consider the theme of God's house. Notice that God's house is not summed up in a particular piece of real estate. It's not summed up in a particular architecture. It's not summed up even in a particular nation. But indeed, God's house is wherever He dwells. And friends, the wondrous thing is that God has poured out His Holy Spirit upon everyone who is truly united to Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes so far as to say, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. God has poured out the same Spirit that inhabited that holy temple in Israel upon all of His people. And friends, tonight we can give great thanks and we can look toward the true temple, which is not upon earth. Remember, the temple in Jerusalem was merely a copy, and the true temple was in heaven. The Apostle John brings the scriptures to a close when he says these words, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God.' And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" In conclusion of this part of our psalm sing, let's turn to Psalm 150, Selection B. Psalm 150, Selection B, and we'll sing all four stanzas. Let's rise to sing.
I don't know your name. I'm sorry. What would you like to sing? Uh-oh. 24A. to show a little nepotism here. it after we sing this, and then Brad has a few words.
Standing for prayer. O Lord our God, truly we can confess together tonight that your holy house is our strength. And Lord, from generation to generation, down through the history of the church, both Old and New Testament, you have given your people tremendous gifts. That, Lord, we might stand tall and strong, united in the person and work, ultimately, of the Messiah of God, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you that the house of God sustains us and strengthens us. How we thank you, O Lord, that the true temple is in heaven, and that we look not ultimately to a location here on this earth, but we look to the world that's to come. O Lord, we pray that you would grant us the grace to persevere, to continue day by day, year by year, decade by decade, to seek that glorious house where truly your bounty is everlasting. O Lord, we thank you that we can be together in this Thanksgiving time of year. And O Lord, that we can lift our voices with joy welling up in our hearts. How we thank you, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you have accomplished the salvation of your people, that you have set before us an open door, and that, Lord, we can walk through in faith, and we have access into the grace in which we now stand. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would bless our fellowship together this evening. We thank you for those that have driven many miles to be here. And we pray, O Lord, that in the same way that we might with one voice give praise to you, that, Lord, with many voices we might visit with one another and love one another. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Truly, you have been in our midst. And for this we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated for just one moment. We are delighted to offer some refreshments this evening, and I'm instructed that the food will be prepared and ready in the Family Life Center. And so as you go through the double doors into the Family Life Center, there are two tables, and there are exactly the same food on each table. And so we can go down both sides, so four lines can go through, grab some food, and then just feel free to disperse yourself there or out into the entryway as well. And so we're going to be here for a long time, so please stay as late as you'd like, and let's visit and enjoy the time together. We are dismissed.